planters looking a little sad right now. Mine are okay. But up next, we're going to talk about how to create and maintain them throughout the growing season. I'm Jill Nadeau, and this is Garden Talk. And today, we're welcoming Chris Hendrickson to the studio. He and his wife, Angie, are owners of K&A Greenhouse, two of them located in Verona and Fitchburg. He has advice on how to make those containers look good. Give us a call if you need some, 800-642-1234, or you can send an email to talk@wpr.org. Hey, Chris, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
I'm glad that we were able to offer you some AC today because I imagine it's pretty hot working outside.
It is most days, absolutely. This is a bit of a change for me. Usually I'm answering questions in like 100-degree weather. So this is, this is a joy. I got my emotional support coffee here, so I'm ready to rock and roll.
Well, I'm glad. So if you've got a call for Chris, or a question for Chris, give us a call, 800-642-1234. So first off, Chris, tell us about K&A Greenhouse.
Yes, we have two locations in the Madison area. It's been around since 1986. That was before my time, but my wife and I took it over in 2005 when I was right out of college. I have, like a lot of people in the horticulture industry, I have came by horticulture a little differently. I have 2 degrees, not in horticulture, elementary education and history. And then I worked at K&A one summer. My wife, or I should say my girlfriend at the time, now my wife, was kind enough to get me a job there. And I really enjoyed it. It's a great place to be. We have just the loveliest people you can imagine. And it's been kind to us over the years. And so it's been a good industry to be in, especially we had a lot of times for COVID. When COVID started, it was a very difficult time for us. But it was also very rewarding as people would come in. And you realize that plants mean a lot to people. And so that was a good feeling.
Well, you come highly recommended. So
all right.
The pressure is on.
Yeah, absolutely.
But we wanted to just focus in today on creating and taking care of planters because a lot of people don't even have room for anything but that is a planter. So let's just start with the basics. And what do you look for in a container?
In any container, the first thing you want to look for is what sun you have. That's going to be the first thing. You don't want to be fighting the sun. The plant has to match the sun that you're doing. Mm-hmm. So if you're getting full sun, which is really anywhere from 6 to 8 hours of sun, afternoon sun being the hottest, part sun is going to be more 4 to 6 hours or full morning sun kind of thing. So that's the first thing that I look for. The other thing is to make sure that you are getting a container that is sized appropriately for the plants that you want. A lot of times we have people that will come in and they'll want to do like a wave petunia or some type of other very vigorous growing plant, and you don't want to put that in too small of a container. The soil that you use is another huge important thing. We have a lot of folks that will, and I'm not knocking it 100%, but a lot of the big box stores will sell potting soil that is just not really at the quality it needs to be. It's a lot like cooking where the ingredients really, really matter. So those are some of the things we look out right from the get-go. The material, a lot of times people talk about terracotta or plastic or that kind of thing. Not as important to me as really just making sure you give your plants enough room. Not using old potting mix is another big thing, too. And then watering practices and all sorts of other things that we can go into for sure.
What about like drainage holes? I'm assuming that's kind of important.
It absolutely is. If you have an indoor plant, it's not necessarily as important because you're the one who's going to dictate how much water goes into that. If you have an outdoor planter, though, and it rains and rains and rains, it's not going to kill your plant if you have drainage in there. Mm-hmm. So absolutely. And then ample drainage, too. Sometimes we'll have big containers that won't have enough holes in there. You can put a little bit of gravel, 2 or 3 inches up on it to help with that. Give a little reservoir for it to drain out as well. But drainage is absolutely important. And that also goes to the soil as well. A lot of times you have people are very worried about making sure that they have a soil that retains enough moisture. And a lot of times that is going to be, it can, be too much moisture for it to be holding on to. There's several products out there like Soil Moist and some of these other ones that, in my opinion, hold too much moisture. And you really want your plants to be able to dry out between waterings.
I think that's a key point, too. So many of us is like, oh, it's a little dry on top. Let's water it again. That's not the great way to do it, is it?
It's not because a lot of times people come in and they'll say, oh, I was checking the watering by sticking my finger in the potting mix. And it's like, well, great. Now you know what the first 2 inches are. And a lot of times it just doesn't tell you the whole story. There's a lot of also products out there like self-watering. Which I'm not really a big fan of as well, because especially when you early plant these, the idea for these self-watering is that it's going to wick the material up, or the water, I should say, up from the bottom. But if you're just have a newly planted planter, you're not going to have any roots to the bottom of that container. So that's not really where it's at as well. So I recommend if you can pick up a container and do the weight of it. Now that's not, you know, possible if you have some very large ones, but a lot of times the lightweight ones are a smaller 10, 12, 14 inch ones, you can give it a pickup, and that'll tell you really how much water is in there. And the more you do that, the more you're going to be able to figure out, oh, yes, this is really light. Oh, this is really heavy. And that's going to give you a better picture of really when you need to water something and when you don't. And that's definitely true for hanging baskets, especially as well.
And with this year, with our so much rain, how is that affecting our containers?
It really depends on the type of plant that you had in there. Calibrachoas are, or mini petunias are a really good example of something that did not fare well with that amount of water. And, you know, there's other things that petunias and some of the other ones that are heavier water needs. And that's also case by case. If you have a smaller container and Mother Nature's watering a lot more than you were probably maybe doing, then maybe your stuff did really, really well. So it's there's no necessarily great way for containers to say how it affected each and every one of them.
Yeah, I think I've maybe watered my containers 5 or 6 times this year, which is crazy considering last year.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's a really a night and day difference from what we had going on last year.
Yeah. And my geraniums aren't doing great this year. Have you found that to be true?
Yeah. Calibrachoas, geraniums, a lot of the stuff that wants to be dry between waterings that's not getting it. And that's another reason why using a better quality potting mix is more important, because if you're using, there's like a Miracle-Gro, and I'm not knocking all their products, but they have a organic mix that is very heavy, very dense. Some of the lower quality potting mixes that you can buy, you know, when you're $9 a bag, $10 a bag kind of stuff that are really, really heavy. Well, their water retention is very, very high. They use a lot of mineral soil and not a soilless mix necessarily. So in between the rains, it's just not drying out enough.
So you're looking for a soilless mix for your planters?
More or less, or okay. Primarily a soilless mix.
Okay.
The varieties that we, or I should say the brand that we sell, we have a house brand that we really, really like. And every year we go out and try to find another brand or something that might be better. We're always trying to improve everything that we do. And so, yeah, we'll get in 5 or 6 different types of them. And, you know, usually I haven't had, or I should say in the last 5 years, we haven't changed our mix whatsoever. Because when we compare to something that's even a little bit more cost effective for the consumer, the quality drop is just unacceptable. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the things that when people come into the store and have problems with containers, that's one of the first questions I ask. Where did you get your soil? Did you use last year's soil? And there's just sort of a litany you don't want me to go through here about of all the different questions I can ask.
Oh, I'm sure. So when we do have, you said don't use last year's soil, but when we have a big container, that can get a little expensive. So
it absolutely can. You can cheat it a little bit. The real rule is that if you have a container where the roots are not going to go all the way to the bottom, then you can leave last year's soil as a filler. That's going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
You can cheat a little bit and have the, you can kind of add a little bit of a soil release fertilizer or an Osmocote to that at the bottom, kind of to sort of freshen it up. But a lot of those soils or the soilless mixes are made with peat moss. And a lot of that peat moss has a wetting agent in it. And that wetting agent will deteriorate over time. And although peat is found in bogs, essentially, it's actually a hydrophobic substance. And so if you don't have that wetting agent or it wears out over time, it takes a lot to resaturate your old peat. And so you really only want to use it for, you know, the bottom quarter of a container or even a third. But anywhere the roots are going, you really want to do fresh potting soil and a high-quality potting soil.
Okay, that makes a whole lot of sense. Now, when it comes to selecting the plants, I know there's so many that you can pick from, but what kind of rule of thumb do you have when you're helping people select plants for their containers?
There really isn't necessarily one rule of thumb. I mean, like I said, it starts more with the sun requirements first and foremost, and then it's going to be a maintenance to some degree. And one of the things that we have a lot of folks that come in and they'll say, well, I don't want anything that says maintenance. And it's just impossible when you have that kind of, you have a live thing that's growing, that's flowering. When the flower is done and it's spent, you have to pick it off. It wants to go to seed, so you want to pick off those seed pods. So yeah, there isn't necessarily one hard or fast thing I look for. It's more about matching, you know, a lower care plant for somebody that doesn't want to do too much. And yeah, I mean, really, other than that, it's really about what kind of look the customer wants for it. And I think the big thing for us is that we try to have as much staff on hand as possible so we can walk around with people, show them different options, because it's, yeah, we do this day in, day out, but it's something that somebody does maybe a few weekends a year. And there's some hardcore gardeners that'll come in all the time. But for a lot of folks, it's not something that they're normally doing on a day-to-day basis. So your local garden center should be able to help you and walk you around. And I think that's one of the big differences we have between us and like a big box store. We're there to help you and to assist you. And we don't expect you to be an expert. We're happy to be that for you.
Because you are doing, that's an investment, no matter where you're buying it. So you should buy it with knowledge, with knowledgeable people, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You should, you know, and that'll help. And the other thing is, too, is that you don't want to skimp on and cut corners. You know, we have a lot of folks, we sell a ton of plants and not nearly enough soil to fill the containers for those plants. So one of the things we've been doing is being a bit more vocal with like, okay, what kind of potting soil do you have, to prevent people from, oh, I got a, it just says potting soil. I got it for $5 at, you know, Menards or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure they might have a higher quality mix, but I already know that you're going to have a potting soil that has more water retention, has more mineral soil in it. So you're going to be fighting that. So if you're spending, you know, even $50, $100, some people are up there $200-$300 in flowers, it's worth the extra investment in the soil as well.
Yeah, you don't want to see my plant bill.
Yeah. Maybe I do, actually,
oh,
right?
Maybe you know, you
I got bills to pay. I'd be all right with that.
We're talking with Chris Hendrickson, owner of K&A Greenhouse. What questions do you have about containers? Join in by calling 800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is Garden Talk. I'm Jill Nadeau. Join us next week. We're going to be talking to two authors, and the first book is going to be talking about bird-friendly gardening, and then the second hour, we're going to talk about ground cover. So many options for that, but right now, we are talking about containers, and we're going to go to the phone. We have Joe in Whitewater with a question. Go ahead, Joe.
Hi, Jill. Thanks for taking my call. Chris, nice to talk to you again. I've been to your store a couple of times. You and your staff are just excellent.
Thank you, Joe.
My patio plant, yeah, you're welcome. My patio plants right now are doing quite well, but I'm concerned this fall I've got a patio rosemary plant that I try to bring in every fall, and I do, but it dies. So I'm just wondering if you've got any tips or tricks that I can use to maybe let it last until the holidays, maybe?
Those are so hard to keep going. I was so proud of myself. I did one once right here, and that was it.
So there is a lot of things that you can do for that. It is a difficult plant. Any of the herbs that you want to bring inside, rosemaries, basils, any of that stuff, the real trick is that they're going to want to desiccate, and that's the issue that you have. So when you bring them inside, you want to give them as much light as you possibly can. You don't want to move them very much. You don't want to put them in anywhere where you're going to have like a heating vent. You don't want to encourage any of that desiccation or any of that drying out. Sometimes people will put a container or like a larger dish underneath them with pebbles and water in there to try to keep that humidity up, because it's going to want to be a little bit more, you know, that 40 to 50 sort of humidity range, which is easy for us to get in the summer. But in the winter, that's something that if you're not pumping in or have a house humidifier, that you might not be reaching. You can also mist them. Which some people, there's a little bit of mixed information on that, because if you overdo it, now you're encouraging various blights and other things to happen to it. So it's, you sort of have to do that maybe once a week or so. But one of the biggest things too is that you're not having that thrive. You're not going to get it to thrive throughout the winter. The days are too short. There's not enough sunshine. It's about surviving. So I think that's one of the big things for people when they bring, you know, a geranium or anything. If you don't have a sunroom where you're able to add extra lighting or any supplemental lighting, you're really just trying to get it to survive. And it's going to start going downhill from the moment you put it inside. And then as soon as you can get it outside, even for a little bit of duration, when the temperatures are 55, you know, maybe it's even in April, or if you get lucky, maybe in March, and give it a little bit of that outdoor weather, it'll start to really, really come back. But I think that's the big thing, is to give yourself a little grace with, you know, in January, February, even in December, it's not going to look good. It'll drop needles. You'll have a lot of issues with it. But in general, it's about getting it to survive till the temperature gets better. And it's, you know, unless you want to add a whole light rig from Jeff Bezos or something, you're not going to really necessarily knock it out of the park.
But just keep trying, Joe. That's the important thing.
Absolutely.
One thing I was wondering about when you do something like that, I mean, how wet do you keep that soil? Because that's usually my problem.
That's a good point. You're not going to be watering it. I mean, that's another big thing is to pick it up. So if you have a container that you can pick up, this is a perfect example of you want it to dry out very well between waterings. You don't want to be watering it every week even. It might be every 2 weeks, but it's very dependent. If you have a sunroom and it's doing a bit better and it's soaking up some water, well, then you're going to be watering it and you maybe even will fertilize it once a month or something like mm-hmm. that. But if it's, you know, in the sunniest place you can, kind of adjacent to a window and the best you can do, I mean, it might be once a month that you're doing it. It also depends if it's a topiary or what type of rosemary it is and how large it is. So.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Let's go to Gary
Thank
in
you,
New
Joel.
Ulm. Go ahead, Gary.
Hello.
Gary, are you there? Oh, I think we lost Gary, but he had a question about a hanging basket. Can you just give us some general information about hanging
yeah,
baskets?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, go ahead.
So when it comes to hanging baskets, we have a lot of folks that want their hanging baskets to go all season long, and that can be very, very difficult to do, especially when it gets to the heat of summer. One of the things you can do if you're buying like a 10-inch hanging basket is that in June or July, you want to up its, the size of it. So if you have a 10-inch basket, if you pot that into a 12-inch, give it a little pinch back, that'll make a big difference for the longevity of it. It might not seem like you're adding that much soil to it, but even an inch or two all the way around it is going to rejuvenate that plant quite a bit. The other thing is that there's a fair amount of maintenance that comes with hanging baskets, and it depends. I mean, I could talk for way longer than you want me to about the different varieties of stuff and how they affect if you don't care for them. But a lot of times people they wait too long to do things like pinching them back. Petunias are a good example of that. When they get really, really leggy, well, now you have to cut it back very severely. So anytime you can pinch a plant back a little bit prematurely when it just starts to look a little bit off, that will make a big difference. Fertilizing your plants, especially your hanging baskets, because they have a finite amount of space. 9 out of 10 times, your container plants are going to have 50, 100% more soil than a hanging basket will. Another thing is with hanging baskets, and we are guilty of this as anybody else is that they are a bit more overcrowded. So to get a very full hanging basket, you can have, you know, 4 or 5 upwards of plants in a smaller space, so you get that lovely intermixed look. However, that just means you have that much more of a root mass in a confined space. Mm-hmm. So you can add an extra, you know, up potting them is one thing. Fertilize regularly is another huge thing, at least once a week. People struggle a lot with petunias because they're not adding a higher acid fertilizer, which is very, very important. But yeah, that's just some of the general stuff. And the other thing is too, is give yourself a little grace because you're not, if you're traveling and you're, you know, out and about and doing stuff, you're going to have times when your baskets are going to take a bit of a beating. And if you get, you know, hot, dry days and it, you know, takes a beating on your baskets, you're going to have to cut them back. You're going to have to wait a little while for them to come back. And it's just, you know, it's kind of how it goes a lot of times.
I solve my problems with hanging baskets. I don't buy them anymore.
Oh, God, I thought you were going to tell me you do fake flowers. And I was going to be like,
no, never.
I was like, no, please, no.
No, but I just don't buy them anymore because I'm terrible hanging basket mom.
If you have that, though, go with a larger size. Yeah. One of the things we do is we do a 14-inch or a 13-inch basket. We try to upsize them a little bit. It has a much, you know, people will notice it looks like it has a little bit of a larger, you know, a container size for uh-huh. the basket. And it really, really does. Mm-hmm. The other big thing that I notice a lot is if I go into greenhouses or whether it's a big box store, which I rarely ever leave the shop, so it's a rare occasion. But in early spring, especially, I'll see baskets that are really large. And to me, that's just sort of not what you want in a hanging basket. The life of that hanging basket is already halfway gone. So we try to sell ours that are the plants are just to the, you know, the edge of the pot. And we'll have people come in and say, oh, these are too small. And like, yeah, they're too small because on May 1st, I don't want to be selling a basket that is really blown out and is too big. I want you to enjoy that process rather than have, you know, half of that process happen in our shop. So I think that's one of the big things to do is if you're, you know, struggling with a 10-inch basket, yes, it costs a bit more money, but maybe go up in size or start with a 10-inch basket and then pot it up. Mm-hmm. And that'll help you to sort of have it keep going and going and going.
That's a really good point, because we do like to buy the things that look so pretty.
Yes, absolutely. And we will we unsell things all the time. People will take begonias and things that are really warm weather, tropical things that, you know, we're not in Papua New Guinea right now in April in Wisconsin. And so you really, if it looks super tropical, it's not meant for, our area. And that's something that we'll say to people, say, oh, I don't think you want to get these yet. You want to wait till it warms up a bit.
Sure. Yeah, that makes total sense. Now let's talk about designing that basket.
All right.
So there's three elements that I've always heard about: the chiller, the filler, and the thriller.
Thriller, fillers, and spillers.
And spillers. That's it. Okay.
If you look on YouTube, there's like a 2008 video of me as a still bald man, but younger man on Channel 3 talking about it. Yeah. The idea is really that you want to put something in the center that will wow you or that you'll see from a distance. That's true for containers. It's not as necessarily true for hanging baskets, but for containers, you want to match the height of what you're going to put around it too. So if you need to get some real verticality, then you want to do that. A filler is going to be sort of more of your flower power, your petunias, scaviolas. There's a lot of different things you can do for that. And a spiller is something that's going to give your container a little bit of interest that's going to hang over. A lot of times for hanging baskets, you're going to fill those containers with more mounding or semi-trailing type of things and not be trying to get something in the center that's necessarily too tall. But yeah, there's a lot of different names for it: thrillers, fillers, and spillers. That's kind of the gist of it.
Mm-hmm. So how many plants do you generally put into the container? Because I tend to go a little overboard because I'm like, oh, that'll look great, this will look great, and then they get too big.
Absolutely. It's a common occurrence that we see, sometimes in reverse, too. Sometimes we have people that'll be, I'll put these three things in an 18-inch pot, and it's like it'll fill in over time. I would say it really depends on the container, and in a 12-inch pot, you might put five things in there. I mean, you can put more in there, but you really want to make sure that you're guarding against overfilling your containers, because you'll have a problem later in the season when they get to the size that they're supposed to. The other thing, too, is if you struggle with mixed containers or you're always overstuffing containers, sometimes doing an assorted pot where you put like a 14-inch pot with a 10-inch pot and an 8-inch pot, and you have a little set there, a little vignette, then you can put just one pot in an 8 or one plant in an 8-inch pot, maybe another plant in the 10-inch, and then sort of, mirror that in a larger pot as well. And, that's a good way to make sure you're not overplanting something. But in a 10-inch container, I might put three pot plants, maybe four if I'm feeling, gutsy. In a 14 or 16 or 18, you can go up. And then a lot of times that thriller, when you get up to that size pot, is going to take up a lot more room. So, you might put in a 24-inch pot, you might put only five plants, but that centerpiece might be a banana plant or a purple fountain grass or something that's really going to give you that verticality, but at the expense of definitely eating up a lot of that space. It's also important when you're putting that container together, to make sure that you're matching some of the water requirements. One of the things that we especially help people with is if you're taking like a lantana, which is more of an arid kind of deserty plant, and you're mixing it with something like a king tut grass, which is a papyrus grass, you're mixing a water hog plant with an arid plant, and it's going to end usually badly. And so you want to make sure that you're matching the water requirements, or you're understanding that, if I'm watering this container, I want to water the center of it more. So that's just another little side note about that, is that you want to make sure that it's not just how many plants you're putting in it, but the type of them and the overall size at maturity.
Mm-hmm. Do you usually, and we only have got a couple more minutes left, but if for fall, if you're going to do up a fall planter, what are some of your favorite plants to use?
This is a tough one, because one of the things that I sort of take issue with in our industry is that there's a lot of fall plants, and like I said, we're guilty of them because consumers want them, but you'll see pepper plants. You'll see plants that are meant for warm environments in fall containers, and they're the first ones to go. So for fall stuff, though, I would stay away from those types of things and go for your kales, go for your cabbages, mix in some mums. You can do a purple fountain grass or a grass as well, but those type of keeping it simple with three or four elements makes a big difference. The grasses, even though a purple fountain grass will die at the first chance of frost, it is fine when it dries out. So it looks like a dry derangement. And your kales and cabbages can look good with snow on them.
They do.
Yeah.
They
so
do.
I think that's some of the things. Also, picking a mum variety makes a difference, too.
Okay, great. Well, we have used up all of our time. Thank you so much, Chris. We really appreciate it. This is Garden Talk, and I want to thank all of our people on the team, Claire Neipert, Joel Patnod, technical directors Lee Rayburn and Jeff Robbins, and, of course, our Larry Mueller. I'm Jill Nadeau, your friendly neighborhood executive producer. Enjoy your weekend.